We are back here at St. Mary's in Taylor, and we're doing a little bit more discussion with some of our teachers and our aspirations and inspirations and perspirations, I guess, is a good way to to frame all that. And joining us today, Mr. Charles Bowles, and if I mispronounce your name, which I'm going to pronounce Miss Stephanie's name wrong, just let me know. So Mr. Charles Bowles, who teaches math. Miss Adrian Rose, who teaches art, and Stephanie Klenzendorf.
You got it. Yay.
Who teaches science. Okay, good. I was actually practicing because I'm Irish and we have a hard time with Irish. Anyway, so thank you all three of you again for tuning in or for joining us here. And thanks everybody for tuning in here on the Armor of God Radio Network. So let's start with a little bit of a proper introduction. Stephanie, I'll, ladies first. We'll start with you. Just a little bit of background, you know, where you grew up and where you went to school and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in Texas, and I went to school at University of Texas at Austin and majored in biology. And through a long series of events, got connected with, they have a U Teach program there, which is specially designed to create science teachers for Texas high schools. And just realized I really enjoyed the profession of teaching. And I come from a family of teachers and realized that that was going to be my vocation. And I taught in public schools here in Texas for about 13 years before leaving. Mm-hmm. And I did spend some time at home with kids and in the mm-hmm. EdTech world. And through a long series of events, got my kids here at St. Mary's. And then quickly after that, accepted a teaching position there. I was not planning to teach in private Catholic schools, but that's where God wanted me. That's where I am today.
We'll talk a little bit more about that transition here in a few minutes, but I want to give Miss Adrian an opportunity to introduce herself.
I'm Adrian A. Rose. I am originally from Southern Ohio, and I did my school in West Virginia at Marshall University. Mm. I have a bachelor's and a master's of art in sculpture. But I always seem to come back to teaching. I started out college in art ed, and then I transitioned to studio. But I've been spending the last 15 years teaching art appreciation, adjunct on the college level, until my daughter started school. She goes here to St. Mary's, and now I teach pre-K through 12 art.
Okay. And the term adjunct, what does that mean?
That means that I am not full-time there, so it's on a like an ad hoc basis. So if they invite me to come back and teach a class, I do it.
Okay, cool. And Mr. Charles?
Yeah, I've been doing this for, been in education for 31 years. This is my second year at St. Mary's. I've spent a total, this is my ninth year in Catholic schools, in various Catholic schools across the state. I've been spent a lot of time as an athletic director and head football coach in the state, so therefore I've been in a lot of different schools.
Yeah.
Kind of a nomadic lifestyle, but I, you know, we'll get into this later on, but I always use my ability to coach and win a few football games to get my kids in Catholic schools and get free tuition for my kids in Catholic schools. That's not how I ended up at St. Mary's, but that was part of my of initial introduction to Catholic schools. I grew up in East Texas. Grew up in East Texas in Sulphur Springs. And got my degree from East Texas State University in mathematics. And like I said, I've been teaching and coaching for a long time, but I always loved being in the classroom. And I feel like I've just, that's where my heart is. And that's what I do.
Okay. Wonderful. So, Ms. Stephanie, I'm going to swing back around to you. And you mentioned you had a family of educators. So you could have chosen anything, obviously. My parents both were educators. In fact, my younger sister is also a retired teacher. But I knew right along early in life that education was not for me. You obviously chose a different path. Can you explain that calling to this vocation?
Sure. So my mom is a teacher. My grandmother was a teacher, and lots of other people in my family are teachers. And I have always had an interest in science. And was initially pursuing maybe the pre-med route when I went to college. When I did some job shadowing of what does it mean to actually be in the medical profession, I realized that that wasn't necessarily how I wanted to spend my time. And I also wanted to have a work balance, work-life balance with having children. And so I went to, I was really lost my freshman year at college, and I went to, you know, the career center, and they gave me three different tests of what should you do when you, as a career. And so I took all three tests, and every single test said, no, every single test said you should be a teacher.
Oh, really?
I was like, that's okay, fine. I'll try it out. But, you know, I was trying to get away from that, you know, because just to try something different. And so I tried out the UTeach classes that, that they have at UT, and just quickly realized I loved it. Yeah. And I love spending time with kids. I loved answering their questions. And just realized I had a passion for it. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I kind of, so I reluctantly accepted that. I'm glad I did.
Yeah. And so your first teaching job was in?
It was actually in Round Rock, which is just north of Austin. Yeah. And I was a biology teacher there for many years.
At the high school or in?
Yes, Stony Point High School in Round Rock.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 3,000 students in, on one campus. Yeah, I was going to ask.
So you had multiple 30, 40 plus students at a, in a classroom at a time.
Usually between 150 and 180 students.
Good grief.
Yeah, spread out across six periods. So it's a different experience.
Yeah. And so how many years were you in Round Rock then?
I was there for 13.
So what was the, what was that transition like, or rather, what brought you to St. Mary's?
Yeah.
And then what was that transition like?
Well, I had left public school mainly because I was disenchanted with the amount of pressure it is to spend so much time on state testing. I came in to teaching right before the STAR test.
Okay.
And saw that shift happen of everything that they do is just has to be connected to the STAR test. And to the point where it was like, if it's not on the STAR test, then you just really cannot, you don't have time to discuss it in class. And so there were, you know, it took a lot of the joy out of teaching about bringing what gets students excited about science. We had to only focus on it. And then it's just, it was drill and kill, drill and kill. And so it wasn't fun for me anymore. Yeah. It wasn't fun for the students. And so I just, I wanted to do something else.
And for the uninitiated, the STAR test
It's a state test that every student has to pass in order to graduate. And at the time, they had to pass biology. And, you know, my students passed it. That wasn't the problem. The problem was just the things that you have to do, things that you have to take out of education in order to make sure that every student passes that test. Just really has, I think, been a detriment to students in public schools.
Interesting. Interesting. Ms. Adrian, same kind of question. So what brought you into this vocation of public school? You mentioned you kind of started out in at a college level, right?
Yes.
And, yeah. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think what happened with me is that at least transitioning to St. Mary's was mostly, you know, God put something in your path as an opportunity, and it just really works out. No hurdles to it. My husband works at a logistics company, so we ended up moving a lot for his job, which is why I'm from Ohio, but I live in Texas. And when we moved, we lived in Uvalde, Texas, for a little while, and then when we were moving up here, I saw that St. Mary's had an art teacher. I thought, what could be more fortuitous? I applied to the position, and I got it. So it was more for me, God said, hey, here's this opportunity right by where you're going to move to. You should take it. So that really worked out for me. And then I also went to Catholic school in Ohio as a youth. So 5th grade through 12th grade, I went to Catholic school. So I already know, like, it's so good.
Yeah. The community and the family and everything that goes with being in a relatively small school.
Yes.
Talk a little, just briefly, the transition then from teaching college students, And what age groups do you teach here?
I teach them all.
Them all.
The okay. tiny ones and the big ones.
Really? You get the pre-K 3 even? The little ones?
Yes.
The little litty ones?
Yes. And that part was easy for me.
Yeah.
It is challenging / easy because my daughter was in pre-K 4 when I started four years ago. And so I know how they act because I was actively experiencing that. And then for high school, it was a little bit easier because the students that I was getting in college for the appreciation classes and the early classes are about 18. Mm-hmm. So they're mentally about the same.
Sure.
It was like the in-betweens that were hard for me. The middle school was more of a challenge because you're...
There's a lot of people that are shaking their head, nodding
everyone's
up and down, going,
why
yes,
do you teach middle school
is a challenge.
Can't confirm.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you've been here now 4 years.
This is the beginning of my fourth
year. Yep. Okay. All right. Good. All right, Mr. Charles. So let's talk a little bit. You mentioned all the years coaching and teaching in kind of the secular world, and but that you started another Catholic school before you came here.
Yeah, yeah. So early on, going back to kind of piggybacking off what the two ladies said, there was never a doubt in my mind what I wanted to do for a living from the time I was about 12 years old.
Really?
I knew I wanted to be in education in some form or fashion, and I knew I wanted to kind of help kids develop. I was surrounded by great teachers and great coaches my whole life, and I admired them so much and what they had done for me. And so I wanted to be that kind of person when I got older, and I felt like I had a gift for it, and I had a passion for it for sure. So as I said earlier, I was involved in Catholic schools or fairly early in my career because I wanted my children to go to Catholic schools. My wife is the youngest of 11, and all of her brothers and sisters all went to the same school, and they're all that family tradition and all that stuff. So I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted my kids to be a part of that.
Sure.
And, I wanted my kids to be exposed to the great things like Stephanie was talking about that you can't talk about in public schools. Yeah. We want that to be part of their upbringing and part of their lives. So, of course, all my kids are out of school now and everything. So how I ended up here in my second year, I had had some health issues, and I was forced to retire long before I wanted to. And thank goodness those health issues got resolved. And whenever my doctor gave me the thumbs up, I could get back into education. Of course, COVID scared us all to death.
Yeah, sure.
And all that, And so those health issues got resolved. And so Doc says, hey, if you want to go back to your passion and your heart, get after it. And I've got a daughter and a brand new grandson that live in Jarrell.
That's fantastic.
And we were living in Houston at the time, so I could be close to the hospital. And so we just said, yeah, you know what? I bet I can find a small Catholic school somewhere near Jarrell. Mm-hmm. That I think I got a pretty good resume, So everything just fell into place, and it just worked out just like it was God's plan all along.
Yeah. And now you teach math to all of the kids?
7th grade through 11th grade.
7th grade through 11th grade. Okay. Yeah. So you all kind of get a little bit of taste of the junior high phenomena, shall we say, which is interesting because at 12, I was still convinced that I was going to be the next quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and you see how that worked out. So anyway, I digress. So let's talk then. You're all kind of relatively new to this environment, but have spent a number of years in the educational world. What keeps you coming back? What keeps the fire burning, the start of the school year? Mr. Adrian, we'll start with you. So what is that motivation that brings you back?
Well, I think at the beginning of every year, I always panic and go, oh, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? And then after a couple of weeks with the kids, you go, oh, it's because I like them, right? Right?
Great answer.
And just, even on the days that you feel oh, I can't do this anymore, it still comes back, especially in art. You see somebody that you just had a breakthrough with, and they make a beautiful piece of art. So it's just like seeing the progress of each kid almost every day that keeps me coming back. Yeah. Because you see, it's really easy to see the progress here, especially since we all end up teaching a lot of the same kids, and we see them year after year. you don't lose them in the crowd of 3,000, right?
Right.
You may never see that kid again. We're going to see him, whether they're across campus in the lunchroom, and you get to see, like, they're still here. They're still learning. It's just kind of awesome to be able to do it.
So do you get to see the kids every single day then, or it varies depending upon the age?
It varies from grades. The little ones I see once a week. Middle school I see twice a week, and high school I see every day.
Okay, okay. And then what kind of things, and I don't have an artistic bone in my body, so what kind of things are you kind of talking to each of those populations of kids?
Well, everybody gets a little bit of art history, whether it's the little ones, you say, this mm-hmm. is the artist's name, and here's a picture they made, to the high school where you can go in more depth about artists.
Sure.
But for the little ones, we're skill building, so we're, can you tear, can you cut? This is how glue works. Very basic things to, in high school, we're shading, we're doing self-portraits. We want something to actually resemble something else. So mostly skill building every year until you get to high school and you're really executing pieces of art.
My wife and I started many years ago with subscribing to the Magnificat, and I love reading the articles. I have found myself becoming interested in art history, reading articles about the cover art and the art in the back. But anyway, so it's interesting that you know, some of us come to our art history understanding much later in life. So
yeah, well, it really makes sense to do regular history and include art along the way,
mm-hmm.
because you can even talk about like the clothes of different periods and mm-hmm. why are they like that, and it just comes full circle at some point. That's really nice.
That's awesome. Miss Stephanie, what about you? What keeps you coming back to this? Obviously, the transition of 3,000 plus to a few dozen is a huge benefit.
So when I first accepted this job and started teaching here, to be honest, it was a little bit of a culture shock for me. I just wasn't used to being around this many faithful Catholics or Christians in general. I remember feeling nervous to wear my cross to school, just because, you know, there's all sorts of people, all sorts of, you know, ideas going around, and, you know, people wanting to give you a hard time about being, you know, a faithful Catholic. And so I remember sitting in Mass one of my first years of teaching here and just being like in awe of like, wow, like part of my job is to come here into this beautiful church and worship God. And like, I just remember feeling like incredibly lucky to have been, you know, God pushed me into that world. And so now I teach science. So I teach 7th grade science, 8th grade science, 10th grade biology, and 12th grade physics. What I love about it is that I'm still teaching science. It's the same things that I was teaching in public schools for the most part, but we can add in another layer of how does that relate to our faith? How does this relate to God's creation? For example, I just came from earth science and we were talking about sustainability. What should we be doing to take care of God's creation? And so we're still learning about air pollution, water pollution, soil, you know, degradation. But just integrating in Catholic social teaching into that, how does that relate to our faith? And then in a little bit, I'm going to go talk to my biology students about the 6 characteristics of living things. All living things have cells. They metabolize. They grow and reproduce. And then at the end of that, okay, let's look at a picture of a developing human at the cellular stage. Let's take what we just learned about the 6 characteristics of living things and let's ask ourselves, is that fetus alive? Does it meet every single, by a scientist's definition, is this fetus alive and is it human? And when you apply it in that way, it just leads students down this line of thinking that makes them appreciate that our, you know, Catholic faith is respectful, you know, to the world of science. And then science, you know, leads into our study of the Catholic faith, making that relationship.
Yeah, I'm just going to come upstairs. We're just going to record that whole session and just broadcast that once a week. No, I'm kidding. That would be fun. And it's fascinating. And you said it, the tying the Catholic faith into what, frankly, a lot of the secular world accuses us of being that we ignore is the science of our faith, and they forget the things. There's so much of it that is so interconnected. I think that's wonderful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
All right, Mr. Charles, what keeps you coming back here every day?
Well, I love what I do. I think, you know, and I get excited about it. I get enthusiastic about it. I can't really put my finger on what it is I love so much about my job. Mm. I love the rapport with kids. I love seeing their growth. I love seeing how they mature over the course of a year or a course of a few years. And I like seeing them when they come back after they graduate and, mm-hmm. you know, and we talk about the things that they learn from me. I do this for really selfish reasons. I get a lot out of it. I get a lot of joy out of it, and I get a lot of energy out of it. It gets me going in the morning. But, you know, the other thing, and kind of what Stephanie was saying earlier too, you know, here at St. Mary's, I get to start off day in either in Mass or in some sort of prayer or some sort of spiritual discussion every single day. That's pretty stinking unique,
Yeah. You
know, and what a great way to start your day off, you know, and, mm-hmm. and you know, whether you're tuned into Mass or falling asleep, you're still there.
Yeah.
You're still getting those blessings and, you know, you're getting a little bit of that goodness smeared on you every single day. And so all that, it's really, really easy to come to work, you know, when you're surrounded by great people that you work with and great kids that you get to work with. It's pretty awesome. The other thing that really gets me coming back, and I've always believed in teaching the whole child. You know, there's so many things, not just math content, because let's be honest, you know, I can poll any adult on this campus if anybody can remember the quadratic formula, and I bet you that nobody really can. So the content's important, but, you know, teaching them, helping them develop to be a good person is mm-hmm. the most important thing we do here. And I think, you know, Father John said it best, our number one goal is to help build disciples of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we get the opportunity to do that every single day. Love and, that. I mean, what else would you want to do for a living?
Yeah.
You know, when you get to be a part of that. And you can't do that. I mean, you can do that in every aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But you really got a great opportunity to do that here and have a major impact and do what God really calls us to do. So
my brain is working through the directory and the quadratic equation. It's like
yeah,
square root of 4. Square,
yeah.
All right, I digress. So I probably could not write it out myself either at this point in my life. But anyway. So we got about 4 minutes left here in our program. So I'm gonna give each one of you an opportunity to kind of offer some advice. You know, and Ms. Charles, we'll start with you. What would you say to, or let's frame it this way. You know, you got a kid that you saw in school 20 plus years ago, who's sophomore, junior at college and is thinking about getting into the educational world. What kind of advice would you tell them?
Follow your heart. Make sure that that's what you want to do because it's a hard job.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're willing to be committed to being really good at it, follow your heart and go with it. Don't worry about the pay. Don't worry about the time commitment. Don't worry about all the things that the world will tell you that you could be doing better and making more money at.
Mm-hmm.
Just follow your heart and be the best at it. But don't do it unless you really want to, because you're going to make it miserable for your students.
Mm.
You know, and I've seen that before in my career, and I'm sure everybody else here has seen that in their career.
And probably for yourself too.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Because you're going to end up burning out long. Mm-hmm. But if that's what your heart is calling you to do, then jump all over it, and you'll find a way to make it work. God will provide a way to make it work.
Miss mm-hmm. Adrian. For your counterparts that are in an adjunct, to use your terminology, adjunct world that may be thinking about getting into Catholic school environment, what advice would you give to them?
I would say that if you really like explaining how to make something to someone and you get joy out of them being able to actually do it, then Catholic school is great because the students really respond well to teachers.
Mm.
They trust you that you're not going to lead them down the wrong path. So I would say if you like explaining something to somebody and you like them receiving that positively and really trying, then you should definitely come to Catholic school, because the kids here are always going to be trying their best to make what you're making, and they're going to put the effort in, unlike in some other situations where maybe students just are feeling compelled to be there.
Yeah. Teacher says draw a self-portrait, and they draw a big smiley face.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I got it. I understand what you're going. Ms. Stephanie, same question to you then. What advice would you give to kids that are considering the educational world?
Right. I would just say definitely pray about it and consider this not so much as a career as it is a vocation. I'm not here for the money. Mm-hmm. And on paper, it does not make sense for me to work here and for me to send four children here.
Yeah, sure.
I'm a teacher. I'm married to a teacher. This was not part of our plan. Yet, God wanted us here, so we're here. And every time we've had a hurdle to overcome financially, somehow things just work out. And I do think that a lot of it has to do with prayer and of letting God guide where you need to be. And for some people, that is an education. For some people, it might be a different vocation. And so I would just say, pray about it. Where does God want you? And if he wants you there, he's going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be an easy thing for you to be. And, you know, and then just practically plan for it as well.
Yeah.
You know, figure out a way in your lifestyle. And that may mean not going on expensive vacations or living in the fanciest house in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking about what's important to your life and what you want to do. And like Mr. Bowles was saying, when we're here, we have a direct effect in discipleship on the children that we are mentoring every single day.
Yeah.
And I mean, that just brings a lot of joy to your heart.
Sure.
And so the costs of that are definitely, you know, for me, worth the benefits.
Mm-hmm. I tell you one thing that I have discovered the last couple of weeks here is the true focus on the whole person and the spiritual aspects. All three of you mentioned it, and your counterparts last week mentioned that spiritual aspect of what you do and why you do it, and we appreciate everything that you're doing here, and thank you very much for your time. Charles Bowles, Stephanie Klenzendorf,
yes, sir,
and Adriana Rose. Thank you very much. Folks, if you missed part of this, it'll be rebroadcast on Sunday at 12. Here in a couple weeks, it'll be up on our website as well. God bless everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network, and we will see you next week right here on School Spirit.